Welcome to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac, a show about how to break through obstacles that may be holding you back in life or business. And now your host of Breakthrough Thinking, certified master practitioner in neuro-linguistic programming, business consultant, and CPA, Dave Isaac.
Live from the 1010 Studios in Phoenix, Arizona, you are listening to Breakthrough Thinking. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. I'm Dave Isaac, the host of Breakthrough Thinking, and if it is the first Tuesday of every month, it must be The Bottom Line, starring Mitch Spean. Hey, Mitch.
How are you today?
I am good. How are you?
Doing well. Happy May.
Well, happy May, and happy coming back from Las Vegas.
That's
you
right.
Lucky guy. That's all I could say.
Yeah, I got lucky. I actually turned 20 into 50, and that was it.
Is that age we're talking about or what?
Close.
Oh, okay. You do look young for a young man. Anyway, this is a great show today, and, of course, The Bottom Line is sponsored by Beerbaum and Spean and a great CPA firm. And, you know, it's interesting that I think our guest today will really shed a lot of enlightenment to the general public about CPAs. A lot of people just don't understand how it works, how to pick a CPA, what CPAs do. I get all sorts of answers to those questions.
Oh, absolutely. In addition to which, when you're looking at the general public, a lot of times it's by referral, and you've got to make sure that those referrals work well. And so there are ways that you can look into that and make sure that it's right for you.
There's no doubt about it. And there is a difference among CPAs, just like there's a difference among attorneys and doctors. And let's get ready to rumble. Wow, who used to say that? That was who was that, Kurt? You already know. A boxing announcer. Okay, but Jimmy Lennon Jr., I think. Okay. No, it's that other guy. But anyway, let's get ready to rumble again. And we have in studio, live. This is so exciting because Mitch, you know, we're both CPAs, and our governing body is here, plus our association is here. Let's welcome Cindy Hubiak from, and I should say, the president and CEO of the Arizona Society of CPAs. Welcome, Cindy.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you, Mitch. It is really great to be here and to talk with all of your guests.
This is great. And we also have right to your left, Jim Dubay, Deputy Director of the Arizona State Board of Accountancy. And welcome, Jim.
Thank you for having us. It's a joy to be here. Looking forward to some good conversation.
This is great. And, of course, why don't we start this way? What's the difference between both your organizations? Jim, let's start with you. You're the deputy director of the Arizona State Board of Accountancy. So just a brief description of what you do when it comes to the CPA industry.
Well, the Arizona Board of Accountancy is empowered by the legislature to oversee the profession of certified public accountants. And we are one of three states in the 55 jurisdictions. It's called a title state. That means that we only have jurisdiction over CPAs. We do not have jurisdiction over accounting or bookkeeping practices.
And we'll get into that later, why that's important, and it definitely is important. And Cindy, as the president and CEO, that's impressive too, president and CEO of the Arizona Society of CPAs, what is it that you do that's different than what the Arizona State Board of Accountancy does? Because I think that's a misconception too.
Well, it often is, and Dave and Mitch, you may be surprised to know that many CPAs do get our two organizations mixed up. It's very important that members of the public and CPAs know that we are different organizations.
Yeah.
I like to say that the CPA Society has its members' back. Our job is to make sure they don't go and see Jim's organization because that might mean they got in trouble. So we have a staff of 11 people. We represent 6,000 CPAs here in Arizona. Our main job is to educate them, to look out for Arizona taxpayers of the legislature, and to help the general public know all about CPAs and the fact that they do a lot of really great tax work. They also do a lot of good general business consulting. They serve in government. They work with companies to help companies save money and collect accounts receivable and basically be in a better business.
You know, that makes a lot of sense. And so that clarifies it really nicely, too, because you're right. I think there's probably a lot of confusion. And you're also right. You have our backs. That's great. But I called Jim anyway. He's such a nice person. So, and you're always great. I just want to express that. You give so any CPAs out there, well, I don't know if I should promote them calling you all the time.
Absolutely.
But
that's what we're there for. Yeah, we're there to help them.
And you have a great staff. You really do.
We really have an excellent staff.
Tremendous, as well as you do, Cindy, too.
Thank you. And one thing that we encourage all CPAs to do is volunteer. And both the CPA Society and the Accountancy Board use a lot of volunteers. And
yes.
Jim might explain a few of the things that they do.
Well, we have, besides the 7-member board, we have 6 other committees that are advisory committees. And those 6 committees are peopled by CPAs who basically volunteer their time, even though there is a per diem that is paid by the state per day when they serve on the committee. It's really a volunteer service because they are spending probably more hours outside of the board in activity for their committee than they are inside. So the CPAs are very giving community, not only towards their profession but towards society as a whole.
And that's very important. I mean, if you're going to be a CPA, you should get active, I suspect. It is your profession. And, Cindy, you also have committees, don't you?
Oh, we certainly do. And our committees are focused on getting the latest word out to CPAs, letting them know the latest information on that Form 1099 that I know a lot of small businesses were very upset about. The minute the president signed the legislation that said no more 1099s were going to be required every time you purchased a piece of paper or something like that. It was on the front page of our website, and our members knew immediately.
Yes, but you know who really got hurt by that? The credit card companies.
Ah.
Because that was one of the exemptions initially.
That's right, Mitch. It was.
Wow.
So now you don't have to put everything on credit card and to avoid having to do 1099s.
That is very good. So both organizations extremely important. Both you more directly, perhaps, Jim, protect the public. And indirectly, you do, too, because you want good CPAs, which indirectly protects the public.
That's why it's certified public accountant.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Now, that leads to maybe another question out there for listeners probably wondering, like, well, wait a minute, public accounting, but you do have CPAs in industry. And so how does that work?
The CPA has a lot of different career paths, and many of the small business owners out there probably have kids, and many of those kids may be in college, and you are trying to figure out how to pay those college tuition bills. One of the best majors right now is actually the accounting major. And as young people get out into their profession, they'll often find wherever they go, that extra credential is very important. Our CFO at the Arizona CPA Society has actually never worked in a public accounting firm.
Mm.
And her whole career has been in business, helping businesses make good financial decisions. Actually, about half the CPAs in our membership are out working, doing auditing inside a business. They're controllers. They are making good decisions for all of those small business owners out there.
So that you said it right on the button there, career path. There's so many opportunities being a CPA. I think CPAs or accounting industry has been in the top 10 in most, I think, promising jobs for as long as I can remember, and it's still up there.
You know, especially in times of economic trial, what we find is the accounting profession is one of those professions where people want to go and gravitate, and that business information will serve them no matter what career path they choose.
Just now, to follow up on that a little bit, one of the things that I've noticed, especially in down times, is there are certain expenses that businesses start to cut back on. And there are certain expenses that, in my mind, if you cut back, you're actually doing yourself a disservice. One of the easy ones to talk about is advertising, but the accounting function and being able to really do the planning so that you can really build the business given whatever circumstances you are in is a huge benefit, and you need to look beyond the cost of something like that.
Well, I think what you're saying is always look to the value. A lot of people really during economy that's sluggish, whether it's a recession, a lot of people will match that and they'll pull back. I always said expand in a contracting economy because there's so much great opportunity for people to be a leader no matter what the shape of the economy is. It's a lot of mindset. And Jim, you want to comment on that a little bit? Do you see that with some CPAs? Do they really rise to the top?
Well, I think what we have seen in the last 18 months, 2 years, is that the CPA industry itself has really taken some great strides in educating the public, as well as finding opportunities that may not have been so quickly noticed before. We have several CPA members of committees who are in the industry of education. And because they are CPAs and may serve as an adjunct professor or a full-time professor at one of the state universities, they have a great opportunity to be a voice for the industry itself. And it has always proved to be very beneficial for CPA candidates to come in. They would say, well, I know Miss So-and-so, and she's on your such-and-such committee, and she was a professor at this university, and she gave me information that was invaluable. And that's why they chose to be in the profession of as a CPA.
You know, that's a really good point. And because there's just the more awareness about CPAs, I think the better. And then you can make better selection. And we'll talk about how to choose a CPA. But Cindy, how about you? I mean, do you see differences in the trend of membership going up, going down in times of recession with your organization?
Well, I definitely see in tougher economic times, people wanting an extra credential, whatever that may be. There was actually a local accountant here in Arizona who had not gotten his CPA, was unemployed. He got laid off at his company. Wall Street Journal article quoting him saying, "I wish I had my CPA." We partner with the Accountancy Board on a really neat activity every year. That's to celebrate the top 10 exam scorers on the CPA exam in Arizona. In that room, we had two what I call more mature CPA candidates. Typically, these folks are fresh out of college. They have really not worked before. And what we see, and I think it was because of the economy, there were two individuals who were in their 40s, actually, who in this economy said, I need some extra power behind my resume. I need a credential. And they went back and they scored in the top 10. Jim's director of the accountancy board was there, and the president of the regulatory board attended this celebration as well.
In fact, Monica Peterson, who is the executive director for the Board of Accountancy, did come back and mention to me that the cross-section of this particular luncheon for the 10 were older, and the feeling was that they brought only not just their age, but they brought their experience, plus their refreshed enthusiasm for the industry. So,
that really shows what it takes, not just during good times, but especially maybe during not so good times, where skill sets are important, to keep upgrading your skill sets, to really have a set of beliefs that are empowering and thinking you can break through some of the obstacles. And I always thought that's the best type of professional. And I always said you're only pretty much as good as the awareness of your professional. So if you have sort of a limited belief of your professionals, or I should say the professionals have limited beliefs, they can't take you above that limited belief. So really when you pick a CPA, I think watch for someone that has integrity, and we should look at this question now. You know, and my opinion is someone with integrity, honesty, someone that has a good track record, great experience, and really knows and pays attention to current law. Cindy, why don't you comment on that?
Yeah, I'm so glad you said that, Dave. I think when people are talking with their CPA or looking at that, finding out if they volunteer for their regulatory board, like where Jim works, or if they volunteer for their association. And I think I see Mitch at the CPA Society office sometimes more than I think his fellow team members do at his work. because he is a consummate volunteer for us.
Yeah, I'm actually on the ANA committee.
That's right, and that's the accounting and auditing committee, isn't it, Mitch?
Right.
And what the volunteering does is it provides that CPA with the state-of-the-art information. It is the latest because they are there, they're talking with other professionals, they are in the know, they're in the loop. So that's something that is a pretty important thing to look at.
And that's got to be important, and I bet, this might be your jurisdiction too, Jim, where there's no excuse for a CPA saying, whoops, I didn't know that existed. I mean, is that a comment on that?
Well, the Arizona Administrative Code, insofar as it addresses your profession, speaks directly to that issue. AACR 4-1-102 states that as a CPA, you are deemed to know the laws and rules that govern your profession. So because I go 16 miles an hour through a 15-mile-an-hour school zone doesn't exempt me from getting a ticket. Neither does my ignorance of the law as a CPA exempt me from the regulations that govern my profession.
Now, I'm glad you brought that up because that is so important. A lot of people will think, well, I sign the return, but the CPA signs the return. That doesn't get taxpayers off the hook necessarily.
That's correct.
I mean, right? I mean, if you read it, it's under penalties of perjury. That to the best of their belief and knowledge, it's correct. So you got to participate with your CPA.
That's right.
In understanding, do you have to be a technical wizard? No, but you have to understand it enough. But the selection process then becomes important.
In fact, that's an excellent point. When I first started with the Board of Accountancy about 9 years ago, my wife and I did not have a CPA. We had an independent who was doing our taxes, and once I became a part of the board and learned the statutes and rules that governs the profession, I told my wife, I said, at this point, we may want to consider securing a CPA. So we did, and we met someone through the agency, and he's been our CPA since. And his integrity was, because I knew the background of the individual before we ever hired him, I knew that he was an individual who not only had the experience but had the integrity which I could trust. And proximity breeds awareness. The closer you are to the situation, the more aware you are of strengths and pitfalls. And because this fellow was tied directly into the board in terms of being a volunteer, I could trust him. I knew what his background was like.
And trust has to be so important. But you don't, it's not blind trust.
That's right.
Like, how do you pick a doctor? How do you pick an attorney? Now, a lot of people will say, and Mitch, you probably heard this too, that, they were so nice. Well, nice doesn't cut it. I mean, they can be nice. I mean, you want to pick someone that's courteous and professional, friendly, and compassionate. However, that's just not enough, right, Cindy?
Well, it's not. And the CPAs are called the trusted advisor. What we find is that a person like you, Dave, or like Mitch, they are a very important family member in many respects. Jim, I'm guessing you and your wife disclose more to your CPA than you disclose to probably anybody else.
He probably knows more about me financially than I know. I mean, he's that close. So, in fact, there are many times when he'll come back to me, did you know? And I go, no, I didn't. But I trust him implicitly with everything that concerns our finances.
And so you have to find the right fit. You expect professionalism, and it's important to interview the person. And everybody's different. Some people want a phone call back in 2 hours. Others go on the 24-hour rule. Some CPAs do a lot of work with technology. Others don't. Those are the kind of things. The general member of the public is not going to know if a CPA is an expert in taxes or not. They don't have that background. They rely on Jim's organization to license that CPA and make sure that CPA is doing their education. You talked a lot about the trust factor, Jim, and
Absolutely. The
ethics requirement. Why don't you share with the audience the requirement?
Well, the requirement in continuing education actually was just updated several years back by the board. Every 2 years now, CPAs have to provide evidence of at least 80 hours of continuing education for their 2-year renewal cycle. And as part of that, they're required to have 4 hours of Arizona ethics. In that 4 hours, there has to be at least 1 hour of ethics concerning the AICPA Code of Conduct. And then there has to be 1 hour of information, instruction on Arizona laws and rules that govern their profession. So that's part of it, but that's the minimum that's required for ethics. And there are, I can tell you that most of the CPAs that submit their education submit more than just the minimum in terms of their ethics.
And that's very important. And I congratulate the state of Arizona for doing that. I think a lot of states are moving that way, including California. We're both also, Mitch and I, licensed in California as CPAs.
And they've just changed their licensing as far as the ethics. They used to have a rule that said you had to be ethical every 3 renewals. I mean, you had to do 8 hours of ethics every 3rd renewal. And it's now changed. It's now 4 hours every renewal, and every 3rd renewal there's an extra 2 hours.
Now, Mitch, were you going to say you have to be ethical every 3 years?
Is that every 3rd renewal.
That's what I heard you say, Dave.
Well, you don't have to take it. You didn't have to take it those other 2 renewals.
Maybe in California.
I understand.
Not Arizona.
They're pretty cool, too, though. I know some of the California people, and they're very cool, and as well as both of you. And, when I tell clients or potential clients, I tell them, interview other people. Just don't stop with me. I mean, that's silly. I wouldn't stop with me. Well, maybe I would. But I mean, the point is that interview other people and see what's a good fit. And then I give them some questions sometimes. I go, maybe you don't know how to pick a CPA, but a question I would ask, I mean, given the fact you know they have to be active, have their license, you can check with the Board of Accountancy for that, and, you know, and judge their how ethical they are and look at their knowledge base, too. And one way I think you can do this partially, not completely, is ask them how much they spend on their tax library. That's not a complete indication, but it's an indication if someone's spending a whole bunch of money, they're probably using it. And you'd be surprised, I think, at least I'm surprised, how many CPAs are not spending a whole lot. I mean, I probably spend about $5,000-$6,000 at least, and I'm just a solo shareholder firm. And, to me, that's a pretty good amount of money, but I have a good, complete library. Mitch, I know you do the same.
Oh, absolutely. You've got to have enough not only for the taxes, but also if you're doing financial statements, you've got to maintain everything. And, of course, the standards not only for tax but for financial statements are crucial. You have to maintain.
You've got to keep up to date.
Exactly. And so the only way to do it, really, in my mind, is you really can't – you have to do it online these days because it's changing so frequently that you have to keep up the materials as well as the knowledge.
There's
no
doubt.
Because even if you don't know the answer, you should know where to look.
Remember the old days of RIA? I used to have that guy.
We still have RIA, except it's online now.
Yeah, you had to put the pages in and like, whoa, did I put that page in or didn't I?
So I did that in high school.
Yeah,
I actually worked for a CPA in high school.
Did you really?
And I did those RIA items. And Mitch brought up something that is a question that your audience probably wouldn't think about if they needed financial statement services. The question I like to encourage people to ask is, tell me about your peer review. Did you have a peer review, and what were the results? And Mitch, I think you had a peer review when? 2 years ago?
Yeah, it's about a year and a half now, and I'm constantly going. It seems like just as one's finishing, the next one's coming up because it takes a while from beginning to end to get the process going.
And this is something that the profession has done on its own for many years to make sure that the public can rely on CPAs. And it's a CPA reviewing another CPA's work. A while ago, the Accountancy Board decided to make it law to make sure that what was an optional program is now required by every CPA. Not all CPAs pass on the first time.
That's correct.
And so, Jim, what's your experience with that?
Well, the administrative code, and people are going, if you're interested in what is the peer review requirements for the state of Arizona, you're going to find that in the Arizona Administrative Code R4-1-454. And in that code, when it was written, it was specifically for the firms that are providing restricted financial services. So if you're doing audits, reviews, or full disclosure compilations, you're required to have a peer review. And the way the process works is the firm, when it first becomes subject to peer review, it must register with administering entities. The administering entities are established by the AICPA. 99% of the Arizona firms, the administering entity is the California Society of CPAs. So you contact the California Society, you get registered with them, they set you up with a peer review, and then they give you a list of reviewers. And those peer reviewers are usually someplace, someone close proximity to you. They do the peer review. And when the process first started with in Arizona, there were a lot of firms that, let's say they struggled out of the gate. They came back with a modified report. We had a few with failed reports. But once they learned the process that was required to be subject and compliant with peer review, you'll see that 99% of those firms, with their second peer review, they received a pass or an unmodified report.
And it's really an educational process. I mean, you want people to pass. It's not like you fail and you're out, right?
That's right.
So I think that's really great credit for both organizations, and you're the one that the State Board of Accountancy monitors it. So I think, and I'm sure you're involved too, Cindy, somehow. Maybe do you
Absolutely.
Teach people? How are you involved in this?
We're involved in a lot of ways, and I'm glad, Dave, you said the word education, because that's how it started out in the CPA profession. Is the profession said we have public as part of our name. We have a responsibility, and we need to make sure the public can rely on the financial statements that CPA issues. We started that with CPAs. As an organization, we go out and recruit people who would be good candidates to be a peer reviewer. We recently published an article in our magazine to help educate our members on the top 10 problems that Jim's peer review committee sees in peer reviews. That's part of our education, is to make sure that the CPAs know some of the common pitfalls, and then they can avoid those.
You know, that's excellent, and it's such a great resource for CPAs. Don't guess. The thing is, never guess. Really understand it. It's understandable, too, right? You have requirements.
And those top 10 that Cindy is referring to also, those are called matters for further consideration. Those are published on the board's website. So anybody, any public member, any CPA can go onto the board website, and under the tab for firms, if you go and there's a sub-rollover for peer review, you look in there, and there is information on matters for further consideration. So you can find some of the top reasons for issues that come up with peer review.
And we should mention that if you're not doing financial statements, right, if you're like a consulting or just tax practice, then no peer review.
No peer review. If you're doing non-disclosure compilations, you're not required to have peer review. You are subject to a random educational enhancement review, but it's not a peer review.
Yeah, but consulting does not include agreed-upon procedures, right?
That's right.
And that's a mistake that some people would take. In fact, that was one of the questions I asked you about 2 years ago.
Good memory.
Yeah. Do you remember that, too?
Not at all.
Okay. However,
I said, you have a good memory.
Oh, there we go. Because I remember how important it was. I had a client that, you know, was thinking, okay, is it going to be a consulting engagement, agreed-upon procedures, and it was so, you know, remember the movie Animal House? I had two things on my shoulder, and one said, Dave, you better ask, you know, is this subject to peer review? Because I'm only a tax practice and consulting. And so I called you, and you said, yes, it would be. And I thought it would be.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's important to know. You can't guess.
Right.
The information is here. I mean, does that drive you nuts when people just guess? I mean, Jim, you first.
It happens a lot, and I think the intention of most of us is we want to make a good guess. But as we try to tell both the members of the profession and public, that's why the board is there, and that's certainly why the society is there. We're there to help you, that if you don't know and you don't want to make the wrong guess, call us.
Yeah.
There's nothing to be harmed by reaching out and getting information.
And you are so friendly and so professional and so responsive, and I want to congratulate you on that. And Cindy, I'm sure you tell your people, too, well, don't guess. I mean, you're there for that specific purpose, to educate and to get people engaged in your organization, so you'll never have to guess.
Absolutely. I remember a CPA who received a phone call from a client who wanted her to do some work for a nonprofit organization. And she didn't do that kind of work usually. So she did call us. Good. We told her, gosh, you might need a peer review if you do that. And she says, I don't want a peer review.
Yeah, yeah.
And she called her client. She used our network to help her find a CPA, somebody like Mitch, who does have a peer review and who does do that kind of work. To do the work for her client.
And it's the perfect arrangement. So, yep. You know, you get a couple CPAs involved. It makes sense. And when we come back from our break, we'll continue our discussion with Cindy Hubiak from, I should say, I always say from, but the president. It sounds so much better. President, CEO of the Arizona Society of CPAs, and Jim Dubay, Deputy Director, Arizona State Board of Accountancy. This is The Bottom Line, and we'll be right back again with Mitch Steen.
At Birum Baum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birenbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
What if your house is on fire, you call 911? The firemen don't know what to do, the truck's got a flat tire, the water hose has a leak, they can't decide what to wear, and everybody wants to drive the truck. This never happens because they have a process, they follow it, they're on the same page. I'll help you put your fires out with a business process. I'm Barbara Haggerty, helping you mind your own business. 602-750-4518. Increase the bottom line now. Even a two-person business needs a process, and I specialize in small business. 602-750-4518.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is The Bottom Line, starring Mitchell Spean. Sometimes I say Mitchell, sometimes I say Mitch. What do you prefer? Dave.
Either one.
No.
It doesn't matter.
Okay. But both are good. Like Mitchell, remember the famous movie Top Gun? I think the Pete Mitchell, right?
Right.
Wasn't that? And they didn't call him Pete Mitch.
No, they didn't.
But there was a famous
music. They called him
Maverick. Oh, yeah, that's right. That was a good movie, wasn't it? Do you guys see?
A great movie.
Do you watch? Do you see any great movies? Do you like watching movies? Both of you?
We just saw The King's Speech.
Oh, I heard that was fabulous.
It is absolutely incredible. Yeah, if anybody gets a chance. We waited till it came out on DVD because I wanted it with subtitles where I could, because with the English accent, I wanted to make sure that I could catch every nuance of what he was saying.
Yeah, it's hard
it
to
was,
say.
It was really awesome.
The King's Speech. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's about Elvis Presley. No, just kidding. Just teasing. I know it's not. I heard it was fabulous.
It is. It's
how great. About Cindy? Do
oh,
you,
we just had so much fun last week. The CPA Society's year end was April 30th, and we wanted to thank our board and our staff for all of their hard work during the year. So two of our team members, Cynthia and Tracy, put together a bucket full of popcorn, red vines, Whoppers, and some movie tickets. Then they actually printed out like the marquee of a movie and put our board members' faces on various ones. They put Eat, Pray, Love on mine because that's for people who know me, that movie is me. So I'm sitting
right?
there in the yoga pose with my thumb and index finger put together. We had Caddyshack.
You
know, we have a golfer. We have a board member who loves hockey, so we had that hockey movie. So we've been having a lot of fun with movies lately.
Wow, hockey. We love hockey.
Yeah? You go to those games?
Oh, yeah. We're part of the press. Phoenix Coyotes. Do you like hockey?
Well, one of the things that the CPA Society does as a benefit for its members is we have a program called Behind the Scenes. Mm-hmm. We took about 50 CPAs over to the Coyotes last season, where they heard from one of the senior leaders within the Coyotes, talked about business. And so these are the kind of things that your small business owners can be asking their CPAs is, are you out in the community? Are you learning things about business that can help me? The CPAs who were there, they talked about what's it like to run an organization like the Coyotes. What kind of cash receivable problems you have, and talk about financing, real business kind of issues. And then they got to watch the practice and stay for the game.
That is so cool. Do you remember who the senior personnel of the Coyotes?
I don't remember who spoke with us.
Could be Mike Neely, the president.
Now, if somebody is listening at the office, they could text me the name.
I'd like to know. I know a lot of them,
And I've got my little phone here just in case you guys wanted to do that.
I want to join that group next time.
We've got some really great ones coming up. And so go on our website. We'll be announcing that. We've got the Diamondbacks coming up in May. We'll be talking with Tom Harris, a CPA who's the CFO of the Diamondbacks. We'll get to hear, again, player contract negotiations.
Oh, really?
Some of our events, you're allowed to bring a spouse or a friend. And so you might be able to bring some clients, Dave and Mitch, and talk with that.
That's in May?
Yes, it is. It's coming up in a couple of weeks.
Don't say May 31st. I'll be gone, though.
It is not May 31st. I know that.
Yay. Okay, that's good. I'm real interested in that because guess where I'm going tonight?
The Diamondbacks.
Yes, I'm part of the.
Who are they playing?
They're playing the Colorado Rockies.
Are they really?
Yeah, we have a lot of sports personalities on our sports show, but we'll get into that later. But that is so good to know. Oh, you got the text.
Yes,
already.
We got to see Mike Neely.
Yeah, president.
With the Coyotes.
Yep.
Yeah, is that now how many CPAs, that got to see Mike Neely?
Only 50 that you told me.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I think that's really
plus
awesome.
You.
Yeah, I haven't actually had Mike. We had Doug Moss on the show, former president of the Phoenix Coyotes, but Mike Neely we have not had on yet. And, of course, that's a whole different topic with the Phoenix Coyotes, whether they're staying, whether they're leaving.
That is.
We want them to stay, of course.
And I say thank you to Cynthia at the office for letting me know it was the head guy, the president.
Yes.
Now,
wow.
Does he have CEO after his name, do you think?
Actually, let's see. We'll have to look that up. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. I wonder, actually, is he the president or is he the CEO? Now I'm not sure.
He's the head guy.
He is.
Head guy.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, that's really cool to know. I want to do that next year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We may have to go to Winnipeg to do it, but just kidding. That's an inside joke about. No, I think they're going to stay. That's my opinion, and I'm sticking to it. So in studio, let me remind the listeners, we have Cindy Hubiak, the president and CEO of the Arizona Society of CPAs. Almost sounds like a fight thing. And in this corner, we have Jim Dubay, the deputy director, Arizona.
Cindy wins.
Yeah, and the Board of Accountancy. So this is great. We're having a lot of fun here. And I know, Mitch, you wanted to talk a little bit about mobility. And who wants to jump in on that, Mitch, Jim, or Cindy?
Let Jim get started kind of going over the basics of what it is, and then
The limited reciprocity privilege is found in Arizona Revised Statute 32-725, and that basically empowers out-of-state CPAs to come into Arizona and hold themselves out as a certified public accountant if they meet the requirements of 32-725. And in 32-725, letter G is the section of the law that speaks to firms. So out-of-state firms come in to get out-of-state CPA firms can come into Arizona and hold themselves out as a CPA firm if they meet all the four requirements under letter G. And it's called mobility because it gives the profession the mobility to move across state lines and not have to be licensed within a state. The two restrictions of that are you cannot have a residency in Arizona and be in Arizona under mobility, and you cannot have a primary place of business in Arizona and hold yourself out under mobility in Arizona. So that's the two caveats to it.
And do you have to actually work in Arizona, even though you don't have an office, or can you bring the work back to a different state?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. The mobility law gives it basically gives the profession fluidity to move across state lines. You can come into Arizona. You can do a 10-day audit, go back to New Jersey, complete the audit, and all that time you're able to hold yourself out as a CPA in the state of Arizona.
And what would they have to do is register with the board?
No, 32725 is real specific. It says if you meet the requirements, there's no notification, no fee required, nothing. You just abide by the law.
Well, that's good to know, Cindy.
We like to view it more like a driver's license. I mean, you guys do have a California license, and there are some reasons why Mitch and Dave are licensed in Arizona and California. For most of us who drive, we just have that one driver's license, and it's seamless. We know that we will be disciplined if we speed. The same way with the CPAs. If this example Jim used with the New Jersey situation, if there is trouble, New Jersey, Arizona, the discipline will happen.
Yeah, and it's not a pretty sight. No, I mean,
we don't want to ever see it either.
Yeah, no, it's just not the way to go. I mean,
but would that discipline be in if it happens in Arizona? It's an Arizona disciplinary, or would it be based on where their CPA license is?
Well, actually, that's a great question, Mitch, because under mobility, there has never been a disciplinary situation that has arisen where a CPA, in New Jersey, for example, has had that situation come into question. So it would be kind of new territory. My guess is the way the board would approach it, and this is just an educated guess, that they would contact New Jersey. Notify New Jersey that this situation happened. That does not mean, however, that CPA is necessarily exempt from discipline by the state board itself.
You know, I wanted to ask some questions also on, like ABC used to say, up close and personal. All right, remember that?
Yeah.
Up close and personal? They usually said it in sports. Jim, let's
start. That's why I didn't remember it.
Yeah. Oh, you're not a sports fan.
I am not too much. That's why I didn't know who Mike Neely was.
Oh, but
now I do.
Oh, there we go. And although we don't know if he's president or CEO, what's up with that? I'll have
We're
to check.
Both.
Yeah, I'll disclose that tomorrow on our sports show. So we have the National Hockey League calling in tomorrow from New York.
No kidding.
Yeah, it's going to be very cool.
That's the owner of the team, isn't it?
No.
I thought the NHL.
Oh, well, yeah, I'm sorry. Yes, they do own the Coyotes. You're right. See, Mitch knows his hockey.
He knows his sports.
That was really good. Okay. Anyway, I wanted to ask, let's start with you, Cindy. What is it that you love about your job? Because both of you have such passion, and I could tell it's just coming from your heart and soul. What do you like most about being president and CEO of the Arizona Society of CPAs?
Well, Dave, you just made my day with that compliment because I do love what I do.
Yeah, I could tell.
What I love is helping CPAs be successful every day. CPAs are out in the community volunteering for a lot of nonprofits. Yes, they volunteer for their profession through their work with Jim and through the CPA Society. So many of them are out on nonprofit boards. They're serving as president, as chair of the board, as treasurer. They're running for an organization to raise money. CPAs are smart. They're ethical. They have high integrity. They keep their commitments. It's just a great gig. I've been doing it for more than 11 years now, and I can't think of a better group of individuals to serve, to lead, and to support.
That is so cool. That's so nice, and that makes you a great and wonderful leader. And we are so blessed to have you in Arizona.
Well, thank you.
Absolutely.
You're more than welcome. And Jim, same question, because I could tell, I mean, you're citing code sections like I do with the Internal Revenue Code. I know Mitch was smiling when you were doing code sections or these sections. What you have passion too, so what do you love about your job?
Well, the I guess the first thing that I would have to say that I really love about the job is the people that I work with. I really enjoy the staff. Cindy said they have 11 people. I think we have 12. And under the direction of Monica Peterson, the executive director, she's been executive director now for almost 3 years. We have a great group of people, Ryan Edmondson, the compliance manager, Kathy Stone, registrant manager. We have two IT people, Richard Seitz and Isaac Ortiz. Under the compliance department, we have Yolanda Barajas and Melanie Alexander. Under registration and certification, we have Liz Chikalis, Mary Ramos, and Teresa D'Alessandro. And those people working together I can't imagine being in a better place to work. They make it so much fun. Then we get to serve an industry who's a top-tier industry. I mean, you can't beat that. I mean, it's a joy to come to work every morning.
See, that is good. I mean, it's sort of built into the fabric generally with CPAs of highly educated, great integrity, ethics, and yeah, you're right. How do you beat something like that? I mean, you can't. How about you, Mitch? How do you beat that?
With a stick, I guess.
Okay, there we go. I knew
it's
Mitch
official.
Would come. Yeah. Now, I wanted to ask a
Or couple. An eraser.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I have my eraser right here. I was going to ask a question that I think listeners would want to know. How you work, Cindy, off there, you said the society works with government agencies and IRS, the Arizona Department of Revenue. How do you work with them?
We work with the government agencies in a number of different ways. One of our main goals, as I said, is to keep CPAs out of trouble and to help them be successful. One of the ways to do that is to make sure they have connections within the agencies where they do business. If we can provide forums and introductions for CPAs into the taxing authority or other agencies, that gives them a leg up on anybody else. They have the connections. They can help their clients stay out of trouble, which is a lot of your guys' job, isn't it, Mitch? Is
well,
to keep your clients out of trouble.
No, don't make sure they don't get in trouble to begin with.
Right.
And then we don't have to deal with them. But there are a lot of times that they come to us after the fact, and that's when we can use those connections to just ease the process.
Right. And then we also bring those individuals into our office to talk with our CPAs. We use a lot of technology so people in Arizona can listen to somebody from the IRS or the Arizona Department of Revenue from wherever they are in the state and get the latest information on the tax laws. We partnered with the Department of Revenue recently in writing some regulations on school tuition organizations. They needed a meeting room, and so they came to our office. We had one available, and they started writing those regulations right in our office to help taxpayers know how to comply with the laws.
And you locked the door and wouldn't let them out until you
until
got
they
what
were
you wanted.
Done. Yes.
Oh, that is so cool. You know, I was talking to CPA just yesterday, basically, and we were trying to figure out, maybe it was you, Mitch. I can't remember. No, I didn't talk to you yesterday. But the trend of CPE, which is continuing professional education, webinars versus live seminars or what? I mean, I know there's now requirements that you've got to take so many live seminars. And I think that includes webinars.
Yes, it does. It's a classroom or live webinar, 16 hours.
It's interactive.
Yeah. I love the live stuff. I've told Mitch that. It's much better. And, of course, you get the self-study and stuff. But what's the trend going on? Do you think live seminars will be a thing of the past? I know you put a lot of live seminars on, but how's that going to shake out with webinars?
It's going to be really interesting, Dave, and I'm glad you brought this topic up. This is another question that your audience can ask their CPA or if they're interviewing for a CPA is, how do you get your training? What kind of training do you get? The reason that the Accountancy Board has a requirement for 16 hours of live or interactive CPE is, Jim, you guys started finding that some people were getting in trouble if all they did was the self-study.
Yeah, in fact, that was born out of the Continuing Professional Education Committee. They did some discussion in terms of, in fact, Cindy, I think you were part of that also.
I was.
And they did some study on what was coming through the compliance committees, where was their problems. And they were discovering that the profession needed that one component where they rubbed shoulders with other professionals. They needed to be there interacting with other CPAs and getting input and being able to ask those questions. And so for that reason, they recommended that the 16 hours of live or interactive CPE be written into the code, and it was.
Now, you think that's enough, 16? I mean, I always think that the live, like you just said, being there with other CPAs, questions that you hear, And you could talk to the teachers. Invaluable. I always think live instruction is so much better.
You know, I do like to tell the story of one of our team members who pretty much just took the self-study before she worked with us and experienced the live. And what she said is she did not want to go back to self-study. It has its purpose. I worked in Singapore for a year, and there wasn't a lot of training that I could find, and that self-study served my needs, and I learned a lot from it. My preference, though, and the team member that I get to work with, really is that, for the reasons you said, is you have a different experience than if you are just going through the hours. And you can tell from your CPA when you talk with them about training if they're just kind of in it to get the hours or if they really are going to education to learn and to stay up with the latest.
There's no doubt. I know there's certain organizations out there, different publishers and different training companies, that they have like a $299 all-you-can-take CPE. It reminds me of like a buffet and a real cheap buffet. But, you know, like in Las Vegas, perhaps. But could that lead to people just taking it just to get the credit versus really learning? Do you think that could happen?
I think anything's possible. And I think Cindy spoke to the issue the best, is that if you're choosing a CPA, you want to know the background of that continuing education that CPA has had. A good question to ask is, do you value the live interaction of your education? Is that important to you? Do you enjoy sitting in that eight-hour seminar and sitting lunch with a fellow professional and talking over issues that you face? Is that important? I think these are good questions that any client should ask their CPA.
There's no doubt. Oh, I'm sorry.
And you were talking about how much money you and Mitch spend on your library for research. The same question is, how much do you spend on your education?
Yeah. That's a good point.
While it's not always true, in a lot of cases, you do get what you pay for.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I like to go to Las Vegas. Mitch knows that. Ever hear of Gear Up?
I sure have.
Yeah. Well, they do a pretty good job.
They do. They do. And
the
then
Flamingo?
You get to lose some money.
Yeah, exactly.
Or visit family.
Yeah, Mitch has family out there. Let's talk about, we only have maybe 5-6 minutes left. Oh, actually 7. I'm getting good at this. 7 minutes left. Cindy, you have a website, and there's a referral service, is there not, about with CPAs? So if people are curious where to go, they can go to your website.
Well, they can, Dave, and if they are looking for a certain specialty or something that just suits their need, they can go to ascpa.com and go to Find a CPA. At that place, they can put in their location, they can put in the type of services they want, and a list of CPAs who are qualified in that area will come up for them. They can look at them, they can go to their websites and find that right match for exactly what they need.
I think that's really important, is to know and have someone trusted like yourself and your organization to be able to get a referral.
It really helps, and not everybody knows somebody who can provide that referral. Or they want it at Saturday night at midnight, and they don't want to call their friends. So they can just go to that ascpa.com and find a CPA.
Is there any sort of criteria for getting listed as a CPA on there? What process do you need to do to get on that list?
Well, you can know that if you go to that list, that those CPAs are members of the Arizona Society of CPAs. And then they self-disclose the areas of expertise that they are including on that list.
You know, what I find is a lot of people say, oh, yeah, my CPA is this or that, you know, people that are looking to change. And I go, sure, they're a CPA. And they go, well, I think they are. And they don't even know. And so that leads to this last question, perhaps. So that's all we have time for, is what's the advantage of having a CPA?
I like to tell people is you've got recourse. You can go to the accountancy board. You can call Jim and say, I have a CPA. I'm not happy with what they did. And you've got somebody on your side.
I could go to, and first of all, I'm not a CPA. But I could go to Glendale Community College and take bookkeeping 101. and finish that course and hang out a shingle as a bookkeeper. But if I committed fraud in the process of that, the client doesn't have near the recourse that they do with a CPA. The CPA, first of all, has to come in and meet a certain standard to even be licensed. You have to pass a very rigorous uniform CPA exam. You have to have the experience behind that. You have to have the furthering education. And then on top of that, once you become a CPA, you have that continuing regulation that regulates your license and guarantees that you have an ongoing education. So there are certain things set in place to protect the public. That's the reason for the board. The primary purpose is to protect the public.
And you do a great job at that, too. And I think that's really important. And then with the last couple minutes, Cindy, you were talking about a new thing going on, use tax. Maybe the public needs to know about that.
No, I'll let the group know that next year when you are filling out your Arizona income tax return, there is new legislation that will require you as an individual to report how much you purchased that you did not pay a sales tax on. So these would primarily be your internet purchases, the things you purchase out of state that are not taxed. Right now, we are supposed to be disclosing that and paying what's called a use tax. A lot of people don't. And this new requirement will make it clear that you owe that tax and you'll start paying tax on your out-of-state purchases.
And the taxpayer is responsible. So they got to keep the records and know what they're buying out-of-state and keep those receipts.
And you need to do that going back to January 1st, 2011.
Wow, so a brand new law. That's
The governor signed it on April 15th.
Oh, retroactive.
I think that's really a funny coincidence.
I've seen that before. Over the years, they've had some various tax laws, usually the IRS, where they'll make it retroactive, and then he did all this planning, and then what happened? That makes it sometimes challenging. However, you know, that just goes sort of with the government as well as the CPA industry. You got to be flexible.
Yep. You do. And stay up with all of the new changes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why don't we make sure that they give their contact information?
Absolutely.
Before we finish up.
Yeah. Jim, what's your contact
information? The website is located at www.azaccountancy.gov. And the main reception number is 602-364-0804.
And you invite people to call you if they have a question.
Absolutely. And we're one of the few state agencies where you call in, you get a live person.
That's true. Every time I call in, they are live.
Yep.
I love that. You know, I love the old ways. That's always good. Cindy, how do people get in touch with you and your organization?
602-252-4144.
And the website?
Website is ascpa.com.
And, you know, both, you know, listeners should just go on your websites anyway just to get familiar. They're both great websites, great information. And why not have people get educated first before they call you?
Yeah.
I mean, I think your website looked different to me when I looked at
talking
it.
Talking to Jim.
Yeah, to Jim. I'm sorry. Am I talking to you? That was Robert De Niro. Yeah, I was talking to Jim. It looked a little different.
It changed a couple of years ago. Yeah, there was a requirement from the state that all the state agencies update their website, and so we took that opportunity to basically overhaul the website. It's much more user-friendly now than it was before.
It's excellent. And people can go to your website to see who's active as a CPA.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Someone asked me, like, well, I think this person's a CPA. Go on the website, and they said inactive.
Yeah.
I go, well, you know, I mean.
A lot of great information.
Yeah, so it's really sad, you know, when people rely on their preparer and they say, yeah, we're CPAs, and then you go to your website and it says inactive. That was a friend of mine that thought they had a CPA, and that's the sad thing. Anyway, I want to thank Cindy Ubeljak so much, President, CEO of the Arizona Society of CPAs, for being here. Thank you so much, Cindy.
Thank you, Dave, and thank you, Mitch. And Jim, it's always a delight to work with you.
Thank you, Cindy.
And Jim Dubay, thank you. Deputy Director, Arizona State Board of Accountancy, thank you so much for being here. It's such a pleasure to meet you in person because I've talked to you many times over the years.
Well, thank you very much for having us, Mitch and Dave, and always Cindy. It's always a pleasure to share the stage with you.
Well, we're going to have you back. I just love what both of you said. And, of course, stay tuned for the Green Roundtable 3 to 4. We'll be right back.